Irish connection, to take up back the story of calories and to in a way give the counterpoison to the idea that the human would be merely a machine. We just come to the point of the story where the notion that if you give the body less fuel it will grow less, that's correct, but it will also function less. The notion that if you give the body proper food that it will grow well would work if the body works well by having the experience in the world around it. What people nowadays call healthy lifestyle is actually that if you look at the past, going back a couple of million of years, people would travel the world, they would experience the world, they would look at the landscape, experience all kind of climates, experience all kind of experiences, would find edibles on the way, and they would have a wide variety of input of different kinds. That would be connected to shortages, and then the agricultural revolution made it possible to provide where otherwise in nature in winter shortages might exist. But somehow the wide variety of availability of food was reduced, and it was reduced more and more, even to the level that at the moment in Indonesia, where in a valley there would be thousands of varieties of rice, basically there is only now one variety of rice that's being planted and harvested, which means that the information that comes into the body is reduced. The variety of the information is limited, it is more of the same, and if you would have a film with the same picture coming up and again and again, you basically have a movie of a photo. And in our life we know that we need a variety of experiences. You need, as you see in the entertainment industry, a range of different scenes in a film to make it interesting. So in that sense we need to have a variety of food, but if we don't have that, then it turns out that with a limitation of the intake of food, the relationship between the food and how they can buffer and compensate for each other will be lost. One of the reasons that we need variety, and this is in the sexual sense and also in the food sense, is because we need to be able to compensate for instabilities. In the human species, the male adds a bit of information to the female. The female has the ring molecule and the rod molecule, the ring the DNA and the rod DNA, and the male gives half of the information of the rod DNA, while the ring DNA, which is actually a double rod, double DNA as well, has its preserved information already. So the male adds one quarter of the information to the female, and that is enough to make sure that in the female there is a variety as a result of which there is an adaptation in the changing environment. And in the same way we need a variety of food to be able to cope with that changing environment, and if that variety is lacking, then parts of the food might become antagonistic to other parts of the food. And in fact a lot of the obesity that people have nowadays results from the body needing to neutralize toxins in either water or in fat, or combinations of it, because the toxins that have come in, and which with all the artificial molecules that industry produces, there are many, there are too many, and the body doesn't know how to process them. So it doesn't have a handle to take them in, it doesn't have a handle to get rid of them. So the only thing the body can do is to lose it on the way somewhere, or to put it somewhere where it might be less problematic. And in that way, a lot of toxins are stored in fat. And that actually is a very risky solution, because it will mean that at the moment that these people will starve and have to eat up their fat supply, then that immediately releases that stored toxin supply. So in many ways society and humanity at present is unhealthy. On one hand, it comes from this reduction of diet by restriction of available food, which is associated with the money system. And on the other hand, there is that part where the body cannot process the information because there's not enough variety of experience, and there is not enough complementary and alimentary information and material for the cells to work with. So in that sense, people live in a kind of imprisonment of a very imperceptible kind. And just to give a parallel to this, I've mentioned it elsewhere, that in the past you could eat apple, you only had to dust it off. And then people started to have pollution, you needed to actually wash off the skin. And then people started spraying, you had to peel off the skin. And then they started with the genetic manipulation, and now you better not eat apple, because you cannot get rid of the pollution anymore. So in a similar way, through the food and through other social systems, the variety of experience of people has become limited. As I mentioned before, it's a bit like the animals that were roaming free were reduced to cattle in pens. The humans that were roaming free were reduced to penned up in pens. And now we need to try to make the best of a solution which is as yet not resolved. And this is a situation which is very similar to what I mentioned earlier, that when scientists adopted the Copenhagen Convention, they actually took a step back instead of a step forward. So likewise, we now need to take a step forward rather than a step back. And the notion of calories is a nice metaphor for the change that is needed. The change that is needed is that we stop thinking of our body as a machine and start to realize that our body will know what it needs to eat if it has full access to what is available. So again, rather than limiting the food supply and providing only what is needed, which is then called what the market calls for, if we start sharing the food that is available, we will discover that more and more food will be available, because all of the food that is shared will reduce the starvation and the poverty worldwide, as a result of which other people, rather than living at survival level, can go to a quality of life. They can do things, they can discover new things. The more you water the plant, the more it can grow. The more people share their abundance, the more they can go into wealth and health. And so the change of ideas which is necessary here is to understand how our body works with experience and with the intake of information and food. So there is a balance between, going back to the picture of millions of years ago, the people traveling the earth and the food that they find. And in that picture, there is always the balance between walking from one place to the other to find food and having new experience, and having different foods that you will work with. So eating and moving comes together. So the nomadic people, they are much closer to this degree of moving, even though it has now been ritualized by having cars and huts on wheels. But still, they have that added change of experience, even though they now often go to the same areas because other people won't let them travel the world freely. So restoration is needed, in which what we do and what we eat is in balance. But a different perspective is certainly needed, that we realize that our body is not a machine which needs fuel, but our body is a carrier of intelligence which needs experience. Now I'd like to bring it all together in a more condensed and compact view on calories and weight loss or weight gain. Yes, you can look at the body as the steam engine, because yes, you can see that if you reduce the amount of food, then the body weight will go down. You don't even have to look for that in the affluent and obese societies. If those people would move to the countries where there is poverty, quite soon the fat people would go skinny again. And so yes, there is that relationship between what you eat and the weight that you have. But what is more important is, why is there that loss of balance? Why was humanity in the Western world not obese a century ago? And why is, with all the food that is available and all the shops that store it and process it and make it possible for people to eat at any time, such an obesity? And then you can only conclude that it is not about the availability of food, it is not about calories, but it's about the quality of the food. And that is very visible in, for example, the fast food industry. And a wonderful example of that is the documentary movie Supersize Me, where the storyteller actually started to eat fast food for a couple of months and realized that his body couldn't handle that, that it became toxic, that he became very sick, and the body didn't know how to handle it and became very obese. So that's where you can see that it is not the amount of food that you eat, but the quality of the food that you eat. And at the moment that the food is no longer in proportion, that has been, say, ripped apart in chemical formulae rather than biological coherence, the body cannot understand it, cannot compute it, cannot process it, and will have to misappropriate it. So that means that things will need to be stored because it can't be gotten rid of, and all kind of other problems which take place. That capacity for the body to sort itself out becomes more intense and more pronounced if the body is not able to sort itself out. So if people have lack of movement, that means lack of body motion, is a lack of blood circulation, is a lack of digestion, and that's a lack of ability to sort out the metabolic processes in our body, because there is a direct link not only between our sensory system and our organs, but there is also a direct relation between our muscle groups and our organs. In that sense, the body mirrors itself in the different dimensions that we exist in. The fourth element in that is the different levels of consciousness that we operate. So if the body is sort of slowed down in what it can do, then it cannot regain its balance by its internal dynamic. The muscles cannot teach the organs how it's done. The organs cannot learn from the brain how it works. The brains cannot compute what the sensory system tells it. So in that sense, the story of calories and weight loss is a warning that we can see that weight loss by a restriction of calorie intake does not really work. Yes, there are some people who will have a reduced weight for the simple reason that they have a wrong psychology and they overeat. And often that is because in their family at some point there was a period of lack of food, and since that time they have been overcompensating for that. So they started to eat too much. They turned up the thermostat of their metabolic system too high on the intake. And these shifts in the intake, they are important, but more important than that is the ability to reset that intake level. And yes, you can reset the amount of food that you take in, but that is putting less fuel in the furnace, which is regulated by the thermostat. But it makes more sense to turn the thermostat down rather than to look at the food supply. At the moment that people stop their obsessive need for food, and as you might know, in fast food, there is the Colgate University, I think it is, where they study foods, and there is this interesting book of sugar, salt, and fat, where they tune the precise relationship between sugar, salt, and fat. None of them actually feed the body, but they create a sensation of stimulation by the salt, of satisfaction by the fat, of enrichment by the sugar, so that there is, as they describe it, an explosion of a sensation of well-being. Because something primitive in us responds to that combination. Actually, this is where I can stop and eat. But then the food around it, which is not the sugar, salt, and fat, actually has no story to tell, like the fast food, or the advertising pictures, or the serial movies. They are, in a sense, serial killers of interest, and serial killers of appetite, and serial killers of liveliness. So there is a need to reset the thermostat. As a result of people will not have this addiction to wrong food. So it is very important to realize that factory food of all kinds has been produced to sell for profit. It has not been produced to feed people. The first purpose of a corporation is to make profit for the shareholders. It is not whatever it seems to be doing. And in the food industry, the main rule is to try to save on ingredients to maximize profit. So whatever you get out of the factory food industry is the maximum possible reduction on what food would be, for the simple purpose of optimizing profits. Once you understand that and skip all the factory foods, then you still need to get rid of all the complement of the factory foods, which is the agriculture industry, which is part of the pharmaceuticals industry, which is part of the oil industry, which is part of the banking business, which again tries to make a profit. And so the land then is fueled with artificial fertilizers, which come from oil industry and explosive industry. And then because the crops cannot thrive on that, they go unhealthy. So the insects come in, so they call for pest control. And then again, products from the oil industry and the pharmaceutical industry and the chemical industry, they spray it with all kind of poisons. They kill the plants, they kill the insects, they kill the animals. And what you end up is a food which has been bathed in poisons, which of course makes it not healthy for the body. So the only way out of that trap is to go back to biological, organic, permaculture food production, which means that the food actually comes from nature, but the only way that you can ensure it is to live off the land and do it yourself. We now live in a society where many of the social processes are so interactive that we actually need people concentrations and high-rise buildings. But of course, with computer technology, we can diffuse that again, because most of the activities which people need to share is at the level of information, no longer at activities, and even less than before on the exchange of materials. So in that sense, we need to redefine or redevelop society and humanity, and basically undo what happened in the transition of the Copenhagen Convention, where the realization that everything was information and spirit, that it is a subatomic field that compose reality as a whole, at that time it was turned back into the material and control model. And we need to reverse that Copenhagen Convention and say, well, we actually do need to get out of this material model. We need to let go of the particular model. We need to let go of the control model. And we need to see that we do not control our weight by the calories, but our body will control the weight by having an interest in place. And so once we can complement calories with interest, that it is not the food that you take in, but the wealth of experience that you are living, then the balance can be restored. And I'm very well aware that in this two-part episode on calories, I've become very elaborate and talked about much more than calories and weight loss. Because for me, it is the philosophy of calories which is abusive, and the notion of weight loss, which reflects a misunderstanding of our body. Our body will keep its weight if it is in balance with the experiences that we have, which means if we can start to live a more active, a more interactive environment, if we are more engaged and participative in the world around us, we will burn up more fuel, but we will be also very selective in what kind of fuel we want to put in, because for different experiences we will intuitively know what kind of fuel, or rather information, because that's what food is, we can take in. And maybe just to conclude, there is this wonderful example of the experiment which they did many years ago of children who were able to select freely what kind of food they wanted to eat. They had a whole smorgasbord of everything that was available and thinkable of what people can eat. So there were the candies, there was the meat, there were the cereals, there were the fruits, the veggies, everything. And then the people led the children to choose for themselves what they would like to eat. And the story goes that first they went for all the candies because that was forbidden. Then they realized that that was not satisfying, so they went to the kind of diet that people around them in the family normally had, which normally would include meat. And then after a while they stopped that. They went into cereals, vegetables and fruits, and they ended up with mainly, let's call it a vegan vegetarian diet. So left by themselves, the body will know what to eat. And just to give a different example of that, anthropologists in Africa at some point realized that monkeys changed their diet and suddenly started to eat leaves, which normally they would not eat. And then it was discovered that those leaves had an antidote for an industrial poisoning which had occurred in the river. So that by eating those plants, the monkeys were able to still drink the water of the river. And it is that kind of innate wisdom of the body, to by experience know what to eat, which I think is much more important to look for than the notion of counting calories on scales, because a reality is not what you measure, but the experience which you create. So let me conclude the story there. Thank you for proposing this story of calories and weight loss and the way that led to the notion of let's rethink this notion of the human as a machine. Let's reconsider these aspects of fuel. What for us is really fuel? And what does the body consider to be fuel? And if the body already considered that, then let's just trust the body on being able to decide on that by learning to trust the body and learning to come back to their senses.